Okay, session two is finished, so I assume we can,
Marcus has noticed the guitars. Thanks, Stephen. We were watching your guitars and enjoying them.
This one, that's quite a rare diamond Jetstar, Stephen. We'll have to get together.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to start, because I think we're good. I'm just going
to
check with the
producer. Are we good to go? Dan? Joe? Yeah. I need to get into character.
Okay, well, hello and welcome to this Tech Southwest podcast, Tribe Tech. I'm Fayaz Khan. My co-presenter is Robert Hillier. Our topic today is, are tech businesses ready for the new normal?
You've taken my line. Thank you. This is a short burst podcast. We're down for 20 minutes. We can go over if we need to, but it will be a bit shorter and snappier than normal. So as Fiaz has said, our topic today is, are tech companies ready for the new normal?
And just a bit of housekeeping, so even digitally we need to get some bits out of the way. The podcast is being recorded live and will be available on the Tech Southwest website with video as well as the audio recorded version on iTunes, Spotify, etc. And we'd also love you to chat to us. You guys are already doing it in the session section. Thank you very much. That's being monitored, so you know, if there's any questions you want to ask, then we'll just respond accordingly if we can. And also, we're doing a poll today. It's about which parts of your business need to pivot during this crisis. That should appear shortly in the poll sections. Let us know. It'll be interesting to see how you're changing with the times, or whether or not you need to. Yes.
Yes. So, our guests, you can see them there. I shall introduce them. Woe King is the chief executive of Hi9, which is an AI company based in Cornwall, amongst many other things, which I'm sure we will talk about. And Ian McFadden is the chief executive of the Plymouth Science Park. Good morning and welcome to you both. So the title of this session is, are companies ready for the new normal? Whoa, do you think they are?
All companies know. Through great change, there's going to be great change. So speaking of personal experience, my parents were self-made, did really good. When I was a kid, they went bankrupt and we thought it was the end of the world. And actually, it just wasn't. It was just very fast, brutal change. But we came out the other side. I also had a company through the last financial crash, my previous company, and where my clients were people like Lehman Brothers and AIG. I've been through this. It's not the end of the world. And it's somehow we have to get that across. When you're in business, it's not the end of the world, the change. For some, they can't take advantage of the opportunity. They're going to have to change. Now, my advice after going through all this personally is, do it now. Do it fast, right? Don't wait. Don't think it's going to get better tomorrow. Do it really quickly. Now, for the rest, us, we've been pushing about AI using natural. So we concentrate on using natural language with big data, which means it can be accessed by anyone, a six-year-old or an 83-year-old. And I've never been so busy. Some of the concepts we've been pushing for 2 years, all the gatekeepers have just gone. All the excuses have just gone. There was a good article in The Wired recently which said that what this will do will bring in the 21st century. And I sincerely believe that. All of a sudden, all the ideas and concepts and innovations that a lot of us have been harping about for a long time, all of a sudden have to be done. They're the default now, not the other way around. And we're in health. We've got a bot where just before this happened, it was to show how with room dressing, so you don't have to touch anything, you can record data and access knowledge. That's become quite popular for some strange reason, right? Now, we've been saying this about health for a long time. Now, all of a sudden, everyone wants to talk to us. We've got a brand new program on reinventing and rethinking how you access council services using natural language. They were dragging their heels. Now that's happening. Right. For us, I'm now employing and growing and everything else. So, yeah, it's tech companies. And I saw this in the comments and I completely agree, is tech companies get seen as being innovative, but it's not. You know, innovation companies will do well from this. Tech companies might not. So it's about the innovation more than anything else. If you are having a tough time, I've been through it several times, a couple of times in my life. There is the other side. Okay. Mm. Just keep, you know, your mental health, your health going. You can come through this. It's not the end of the world. And that's what I would give over.
I think that's quite an important point, because actually all businesses need to pivot. It shouldn't be reserved to something like a crisis. It's just that this is a sort of unplanned pivot that we just had to deal with. But Ian, how are the businesses you're dealing with at the moment relating to working with physical isolation?
Probably about 20% of our businesses on the park are still on the site. They're operating from work, probably with a reduced staff level. Those that are able to make decisions quickly are going to do really well. We've seen a number who've taken bold decisions to actually expand their footprints, bizarrely, rather than just stay working at home. But those who need to develop physical prototypes or need to be lab-based are putting pressure on us to create bespoke spaces for them. I totally agree with you, Wo. In my own experience in business, I had a technology that I thought was great, and I was very focused on my sector. So I was a marine scientist, and I thought my technology could only be applied to the marine sector. But really, there wasn't a very vibrant market there. But looking at what other sectors I could turn that into, so I ended up with a healthcare company providing stem cell banking and tissue banking for the NHS rather than freezing shellfish embryos. Mm. So it's what can the technology do rather than what's my mindset? And I think the power of collaboration, the power of networking will help the entrepreneurs out there understand that they're not alone, that they can be creative, but decision making and acting quickly is going to be key to survival here, and then to thrive. I don't want to see companies having to get CPR day in, day out. I think that's a real shame if they can't lift their eye line and look for new areas to apply themselves. Previous session, we heard lots of examples of how people are innovating and creating opportunities for themselves. And I think what I've witnessed is people making decisions far quicker than they used to, being much more open about their problems and sharing those ideas and being receptive to hearing from everyone within their structure, from the most junior member of staff to the most senior. Everybody's got a contribution to make. So I think it's agility, like you said earlier, it's agility that's going to see people thrive rather than just survive.
So that understanding of the market and the ability to understand where the market is heading, do you think that there's a risk because things are changing so quickly and we're still not sure what the future holds, that it's going to be possible for businesses to be able to move quickly enough because the world is moving and changing so quickly? Why?
When people talk about when we know what's going to happen, I did a talk a few months back about, and I called it Life on the Edge, and I turned around and said, we've got to stop this thinking that the black swan is something rare. We now live in the age of the black swan, right? These black swan events are the new normal, right? We might think that we're going to go back to something. We're not going back to anything. We're just going to the next thing. And that's just what we are now. That's the new normal. We have to think in completely different ways. That creates massive opportunity and big change happens, those things. In 1860s to the 19th, I mean, Purell came from, it was a couple who, during the Second World War, saw the fact that the workers couldn't clean their hands. And so they came up with the idea how you clean their hands. That family still owns that company, Purell, and is a multi-billion pound company. The Second World War did great innovation, right? We're going through this period that maybe we haven't done since the war, that this was what life was like, right? And we've got to stop thinking that we're going to have this nice post-war 1890s, noughties sort of normality. That's gone.
Ian, how are you?
I also think the big apex companies, the tier ones, need to look after the smaller players in their supply chain. It's very easy for them to just look at themselves instead of recognising who might be pivotal. Could be a component, it could be one little element of innovation that they need to fly a helicopter. But if the SME in that supply chain falls over, it's incumbent on the tier one to make sure that they're supporting that innovation and helping it thrive.
There's been quite a lot of talk amongst traditional manufacturing companies that there might be some increased localism around supply chains and around work. That won't be the case though, will it, for tech companies? How do you think the ability to still work globally is going to impact on this?
I think in the Southwest, especially down in Cornwall, we've got an advantage, not a disadvantage now. We've been working like remotely like this, right? We've been working on the edge. We've been working. This is our everyone else's new normal has been our normal for years, right? All of a sudden, right? You know, events that were hosted in London that I would have to take 2 days to get to and from have been done online. And what I've found more than anything else is how bad those events were. And thank God I didn't bother, right? We are the new normal. Right, we innovate, we pivot, we work remotely. Right, we've got the advantage. The Southwest should and will do very well out of this because we've got that mindset. The Cornish, you plug into that Cornish mindset that they were to go back. I'm not Cornish, so I'll sort of go back to those old acrimonious days. Is that they were pushed down here, that they weren't going to survive? Well, they did, and I've seen, especially original Cornish people down here, pivot and innovate as if it was nothing. My local fishmonger is now selling tapas and lobster bowls, right? The local farmers now selling meat direct. They know what it's like. Is it deep in their culture? Yeah. So, yeah, no, the Southwest is going to do well from this, and because it's we understand.
So
I think it's a great opportunity to export the talent without them having to physically leave. Like, you know, we can really have a global reach now.
Ian, then, do you think that, for example, the old debates that we've had about Plymouth needs an airport, the A38 needs to be wider, the trains aren't quick enough to London.
Yeah.
Can we put those all to one side now and follow the woe line? Yeah. If we just need to make sure that we've got improved digital connectivity and just not get hung up on that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. We should never have got up on it anyway, but I think you're right, it's about the broadband, people who are able to help with intelligent brokerage, connecting businesses to businesses, rather than worrying about the width of the road. It's just a distraction.
So how do we take what we've learned here in the Southwest then and share that with other regions? Is that possible, Ian?
Yeah, we've got useful platforms. So I sit on the board of the UK Science Park Association, and that's lobbied really hard to get a government to rethink some of its support. It's allowed those who weren't paying business rates to now access some grants at discretion locally. So that kind of national connectivity is happening. And the Southwest, like you said, has been looked at as an area that has had these challenges already historically. But we're actually seeing people interested in moving here for the lifestyle balance as well. You know, if you're going to be locked down again, you may as well be locked down in the Southwest rather than the M4 corridor.
Yeah, a lot of people are also saying that, Dan, for example, said digital connectivity, skills in people, more collaboration, all of those things are going to help bring us together. And there seems to be a sort of thread, as Joe pointed out, because a lot of people say that remote working works better because we are so far away from where things are happening, which we tend to be able to pivot in a better way, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And of course, what that also means as well, I think that we've discussed this quite often during our podcast series, is about the way that the Southwest views itself and has to make excuses for where it is in relation to London, for example. Yeah. And often the way that places would even market themselves is only ... from London, and you can get to London by the various means. And I think as you've both been saying, if we can stop wasting so much time on excusing where we live and where we're based, and focused on the content and the innovation and the actual outputs, then won't that help the whole sector to really focus on what's important at this time?
And I've seen far more altruism and collaboration than I've seen for the last 10 years. Not heard people talk about the competition. I've only heard people talk about collaborating and getting together, and it's really, I'm guilty. I've worried about what Exeter Science Park's next offer is, for example. But actually, we're having chats now, which we didn't used to have. Yeah, you know, because we realise we've got to work together to support the region, and it's really healthy for everyone to be doing that.
Well, would you say that we are ready then? Well, because you said some places are ready, but what sort of businesses would you say are actually ready?
I don't think you can say that. As I said, my fishmonger has pivoted being innovative, and she's a fishmonger, right? Been more innovative than I've seen a lot of tech companies do. So, for instance, dealing with public sector, we've dealt with health, and every time we tried to deal with the NHS, I'd rather throw myself off a cliff, right? It's just been horrendous. Now all of a sudden conversations are happening which weren't happening before. Realities have changed so quickly. The public sector interacting with the council, we're creating now this new AI platform and how you revolutionise that for the most disaffected. Those conversations, they always said, oh, one day. Now it's yesterday, it needs to be done. But for us, is also for us to start shouting at what we're doing down here. I don't think we realise what we are doing down here, right? So we're working with the museum partnership down here on some projects. Museums, what's that going to do with anything? The Cornwall Museum Partnership is mostly one of those progressive, innovative organisations I've ever met. And they've just started up a new network because we did a national video call with some other museums who are supposedly the big and brightest in the world. And the stuff happening down here is far superior than what's happening up there. And that's, again, with what Software Cornwall is doing with education outreach, right? This is gold standard stuff, but we never tell anyone. Now we've got an opportunity to do that. There is great stuff happening down here. To us, this is like, wasn't much of a change. You know, I live in the middle of nowhere, so being stuck in the middle of nowhere was not much of a difference. And we just carried on and drove forward. But we've got to start shouting more out. And because we've got this now, instead of we had to go up to London in order to talk about it, we can do it by this. That's the opportunity I would really love to grab. And also, England's just another country.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just another country to the Cornish, you know?
Do you think that because we're all now online and everything is a little bit easier for us here in the Southwest, places like London, Birmingham, Manchester will start to take this region a bit more seriously, Ian?
Yeah, I really do. So long as we try to have a collective voice, I think things like Tech Southwest is great because it pulls everything from Bristol to Cornwall and everything in between. Where the Northern Powerhouse, Midlands Engine, London, the Oxford Golden Triangle, they knock spots off us because they seem to have a collective voice. And we need that great Southwest sort of campaign where we celebrate what we've got and show off. We're so good at hiding the light under the bushel. And then hide in the bushel. We've got to turn that on its head, but we've got to stop this kind of really myopic regional obsessions and think of ourselves as a really big place to play.
Yeah.
And not just worry about the UK. Let's start collaborating with the US and the rest of Europe.
So think big, go global.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You can't cross a chasm in two jumps. Yeah. You've got to make a big leap. I don't think we should be doing that.
I mean, I think, you know, I'm, as you can tell from my accent, I'm from Plymouth originally. Yeah, and I know, and often people have sort of, you know, said that people in Plymouth are their own worst enemy in terms of their a bit of inbuilt negativity. I'm never really sure if that's true or not. But if you take the Britain's Ocean City as a brand, for example, it's not something that's ever held Seattle back, is it? Being on the fringes of the US or Barcelona or Cape Town, it shouldn't have to matter. In fact, it should be seen as a benefit and one of the things that makes us interesting, rather than one of the things that we see as holding us back because we are too often seeing ourselves in relation to somewhere where we're not.
Yeah, I mean, the advantages of being down here are so many. So, for instance, again, talking about Cornwall, sorry, being so Cornwall-centric, is that we've got one of the biggest satellite earth stations in the world. We can have horizontal launch. We have mining. We have marine. We have agritech, right? We have all these different sectors. When we were doing, so we're developing voice on devices, so devices can tell you how to fix themselves without touching them. I can call up someone in marine, mining, right? I can, you know, we had someone from Fire Portreef went around their centre. You can't do that in Shoreditch in London, right? Mm-hmm. But I can do that here, right? So that's an advantage, right? Not a disadvantage. We've got so many advantages here that we think that somehow we need to be in Shoreditch. The only big advantage they've really got is being near the City of London, which is why their fintech does it so well. Apart from that, I just see disadvantages, not advantages.
So that's something we can take away from this session is actually everything we have here. I mean, who needs London?
Mm.
We have everything that we need here.
If we accept that, and I think we've established that we are ready, we do have the mindset, we do have the innovation, and you've both said that one of the main risks is waiting to see what happens before we start to move. So if you were giving a little bit of a tip to do today, this week, to start moving, what would you say to a company who thinks, I'm just going to give it another month and see where we are, Ian?
Too late. Make it a week. Give yourself a week to get it all squared away. Don't aim for perfection. Get going, because you're going to have to go through an iterative step to get to where you want to be. But don't just prevaricate and wait for it to be perfection. Just get it in motion and then modify as you need to.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to go to our poll very quickly, because I think we should probably end it there. We've already had 20 minutes off the session. I'm just going to look at the poll, and when we asked people what topics they would like to be covered at next month's tech gathering, we have organizational culture. So it looks like that's going to be what we're talking about next. When we asked people what the area of which area of their business is facing the biggest challenge due to COVID-19, we found that securing customers seemed to have the highest number. So that's you know, people are pivoting and people are moving, but it's being able to engage with the customers, which is the bottom line, exactly, that we need to be able to garner or recruit. And hopefully we'll be able to do that next time as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Can I say thank you so much to our panelists, Wo King and Ian McFadden. I've got a little bit more to tell you just before we end. So if you want to tweet at us, tweet at TechSWOfficial or message Tech Southwest on LinkedIn. Just let us know what you want to talk about as well next time if you don't agree with any of the polls. And so now if you could head to the networking section, that's to the left of your screen, then you'll automatically be partnered up with someone. And then after 4 minutes, you'll be partnered up with someone else. Now, if you don't like the partner you have, you can end that bit early, so don't worry about that. And if you need any topics to break the ice, then just start by saying who you are, where you work, and a fun fact about yourself, like I am weirded out by the guitars or something like that. And thank you so much, guys. It's been so wonderful. And thank you for all your comments on the side. Sorry we didn't get to all of them. It's been really, really interesting to see Melanie and Fiona. It's been lovely to see you guys on there. Have a lovely day. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
See ya.
Okay. Thank you.